Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us, and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, service, a law of the soul. Before we explore this topic, I'd like to say a few words about Alice Bailey, founder of the Lucis Trust. Lucis Trust sponsors this show. Alice Bailey wrote 24 books of esoteric philosophy, and those 24 books are the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show. The following thought is also from the works of Alice Bailey. Service is the spontaneous effect of soul contact. It's a soul urge, the outstanding characteristic of the soul. Alice Bailey says, service is an urge. I've always thought service is something you do. What's the difference?
I think it's probably a question of perspective, because service does need to be manifested in outer expression, which implies doing something to manifest your ideals and your beliefs. But that is really the effect. The action is really the effect. What matters is motivation, intention, and that has to do with consciousness. So Alice Bailey said that service is really an urge of the soul. And the title of our program is Service, a Law of the Soul. Interestingly, the writings of Alice Bailey say that the law of service is one of three great sciences of the spiritual life. You might not think of the spiritual life as a science, but in fact, it is, and all science has laws that undergird it. Those three sciences are the science of meditation, the science of the Antahkarana, which is a Sanskrit word for the bridge in consciousness that joins or unites the soul and the subjective realm with the outer person or personality. And the third science is the science of service. It's a science in the sense that it operates according to specific laws and principles that, when they are put into practice, release an energy of the soul in outer manifestation. That's really what we're talking about when we talk about service as the soul views it.
And, of course, the service of the soul is being a reflection of God himself. It's because when God created this world, this universe, he did so as a great service, and it's sometimes referred to as the great service. It's the service to service to the greater plan of the solar system, let's say, and it's a service to the lesser lives or the very substance that is here for us to redeem and uplift and purify. And so all of this is involved and passed on through the soul, and then from the soul on down to the personality nature. So it's a great act of service that everyone in the world is involved in, whether they realize that or not.
Service is also a law because it's inevitable, you could say unavoidable. And that's because the soul is really, in its essence, relationship. There is no my soul and your soul. There is only the soul. The soul is one. The soul is unified. There are no individuated souls in the sense of relationship as the soul perceives it. We are one. We are one humanity. We are one world. We are expressions of one great divine life. And the soul is the awareness of that interrelationship, we could say. The soul is the consciousness of our oneness. So to the soul, service is inevitable, and it's an urge because it's an expression of what is known without question to the soul, that we are one. That realization automatically expresses as service. The one soul is the realization that we have impact on every other being, not only every other human person, but every being on earth is interrelated. And service is the awareness of that interrelationship and the impact that it implies that we each have on every other living thing.
And this whole impulse, this great soul urge, is something that will, well, in fact, it already is becoming much more of an urge in humanity. We're finally getting the point, and the urge is working its way through into human consciousness.
It really is.
And you can see it in the world, because the way the service organizations and philanthropic groups and so much of that is coming to the surface now and is actually coming into expression. And this is all as a result of the urge of the soul.
And we could say it's also probably linked to the incoming energies of the New Age, which are oriented toward service, toward group relationship, the age that we refer to as the Age of Aquarius, the New Age. It's one in which the realization of service will become more and more dominant. A friend of mine was saying that she drove by her college recently and saw a sign reminding students of their preparation in college for service. That's wonderful. It's in the ethers. It's in the air, I think, the realization that we each can be of service. But probably what needs clarification is what service really is, because so often it's misconstrued as being a busybody, unfortunately, or doing good. Do-gooders are often identified as people who really make a lot of trouble, and we don't mean that.
No, it's the do-gooders sometimes can feel that they know
what's best
for the other person, for the needy, or for whomever they're trying to serve, and they usually end up causing more trouble, perhaps, or just they're going at it to make themselves feel good, because they come away from it and say, well, I've done my part. And so it's the very too much of the personality is injected into the service. And one of the objectives, you see, is because it is a soul urge, one of the objectives here is to enable that person to let go of the little personality, and the little self, the little ego. It isn't the ego that serves, it's the inclusiveness of the soul that really should be the server, and that should be the quality that comes through. So it isn't your little ego that stands out, but you simply see a need and fill it.
Maybe on the most basic level, we could say that service is all effort that's done for the common good. And in that sense, that means that the work of the military, of the police, of firefighters, of teachers, of bus driving, of garbage collectors, they are all serving the common good. And that is a type of service. It's done for the collective well-being. I don't know how often it's understood in those terms. I hope the people who are giving that service realize they're serving the common good, and I hope those who receive the benefits of their service see it in that way too. Increasingly, I think when the reality of the common good, of the impact that we all have on others and of our being interrelated, the more that is recognized and appreciated, then the more I think service, the urge to serve, becomes a soul urge. And then everything we do becomes an opportunity for service. It doesn't mean we have to become a school teacher or a nurse or a policewoman or a firefighter or whatever. We might, if that's our inherent wish, but we realize that everything we do, whether we're in business or whether we are a housewife or a mother or a cleaning person, whatever, every circumstance offers the opportunity to serve, even when we're doing nothing, even when we're sitting on the beach, or even when we're lying in a hospital room in traction. We can be of service when it's understood that it's a kind of subjective approach to life that doesn't require just action, but consciousness, awareness.
Well, yes, and service can be through meditation. Meditation mm-hmm. can be a service, and that's one of the, in fact,
it's an important
a very important emphasis in our work at the Arcane School and at Lucis Trust. Service, the type of meditation that we do, is done as a service. It is a subjective service, and it's designed to build thought forms of solution to certain problems that arise, or finding solutions, and actually building thought forms. Because when we think, we actually making forms of thought. You know, energy follows and conforms itself to thought. So we are working with energy, and this is a very unique and a very important way of serving subjectively.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, that we should be more aware of how we use our mental energy, particularly in our idle moments. When we are on a subway train, standing probably next to a lot of other people, wishing we weren't there, wishing we were anywhere else, that's an opportunity for service, because it's a moment when we can decide how to use our minds, what kind of thoughts we can entertain. Try thinking of all the people on the subway car with you, seeing them in the light of the soul. Try thinking of them as lighted beings, infinitely precious in the eyes of the Creator. Try saying a prayer that you like. Try saying the great invocation and imagining the lines of light that emanate from all of us and relate all of us to each other, no matter how different we might feel from all of those assembled passengers. That's a way to serve.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. Our topic for today, service, a law of the soul. We have a special offer today from Lucis Publishing Company, and that's the Alice Bailey book, Serving Humanity. Serving Humanity is a compilation of extracts from all 24 books by Alice Bailey. And it's available for $19 today. The discount comes in the form of free shipping and handling. Serving Humanity is an inspiring compilation of extracts that will help the reader's understanding of true service and why it's so important to spiritual development. What you need to do if you'd like to take advantage of this special offer is send a check or money order, $19, to Lucis Publishing. Lucis is L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. I think you'll see how Serving Humanity really underscores what we're talking about today. The beauty of Serving Humanity is that there are so many, that theme, Serving Humanity, runs throughout all 24 books, or most of them anyway, of the Alice Bailey books, and this kind of brings it all together into one book. And I guess also, as from reading Serving Humanity, we may also understand more about the soul and the characteristics of the soul. So once again, Serving Humanity is the title of the book. Write a little note saying you heard about it on Inner Sight, and send the check or money, check or money order to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's $19. If you'd like to get in contact with us for any reason, most people call because they'd like a general package of information about Lucis Trust. One of the most frequently asked questions about Lucis Trust is Lucis Trust a religion? No, it's not. It's not a religion. It's a spiritual philosophy group or organization. I don't even know if group or organization is the appropriate term, but people read the Alice Bailey books, and in many cases they study them and read them in depth once they develop an extreme interest, as some people do, in the books. But if you'd like to get in contact with us, give us a call, 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. All of our InSight programs can be heard on our website at www.lucistrust.org. On the homepage, you'll find a link to today's program, which will be available for hearing in a day or two. Last week's program is already available, and many of our past programs can also be heard. www.lucistrust.org. The theme of each week's program is posted in advance on our website also, so you can see in advance what next Sunday's program will be. Also, we appreciate your donations, both large and small. They certainly indicate your support, and it really helps us a lot when you send those donations to us, because that's what keeps us on the air. And so sometimes it's quite an effort to meet the bills, and we'd like to continue, and we hope that we can, but we certainly count on your financial support. And best of all, I guess, is someday we'd like to find someone who would like to underwrite the shows. That would be great, because then we could use the money that we get as donations, we could use it for other services and purposes that we have. So if you'd like to contact us about possible underwriting, give us a call on the previously mentioned toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. Donations, by the way, can be sent to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. I was intrigued by something both of you were talking about earlier, and you were speaking about spiritual laws, and I think the way I look at what you're saying is that, physical laws is something that people can understand, the physical laws of the universe, the law of gravity. Everyone knows if you step off the Empire State Building and you want to test out the law of gravity, well, you'll see that it does exist. Mm-hmm. And so what you're saying is that there are also certain spiritual laws, although much of mankind has not acknowledged them, they do exist.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritual laws, I guess, like the law of karma, would
mm-hmm.
that be one example?
Mm-hmm.
That even though people may doubt the veracity of it, it does exist.
And they can experience it.
Yeah, well, they
can. Then they get it.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same with service. If you serve as the soul would have you serve, you can see that it is indeed a law. It's a law that releases energy and that can be experienced, witnessed, expressed on the physical plane. One example might be the fact that real service, the service of the soul, is the distribution of spiritual energy. And every human being who serves from the level of the soul can experience an inflow of energy that's quite miraculous. Athletes often speak of striving to be in the zone when they can release a kind of ability that enables them to practice their sport at an optimal level. And I've heard of singers, speaking of being in alignment or in the zone in a way that enables them to use their voice at its best level, and the music just kind of comes through them. Well, a similar thing happens with serving as a soul. And oddly enough, it often happens when one is at the end of one's tether, so to speak. The service that's given as a personality stays within the realm of one's capabilities and capacities and talents and doesn't really push one to the brink. But when you are serving as the soul, you are pushed beyond your personal what you think is your personal capacity. You're asked to do something, or you're demanding of yourself that you perform at a level that you think is beyond your abilities. And often you'll hear of people who have achieved something really quite remarkable that they didn't know they could, and they'll say, "I can't believe I was able to accomplish that." I think they found that they had to access the energy of the soul to carry them through. And they did, in fact, experience an inrush of energy and ability that was quite remarkable. And they've witnessed that.
Right. And it's, as it says in the opening thought, it's the spontaneous effect of soul contact. And when it is spontaneous, that's the first reaction that comes through. You're not sitting there thinking about, well, am I going to, what's in it for me
serve
mm-hmm. this way? If I go work in this soup kitchen, what's in it for me? What am I going to get from it? If you start from that perspective, then it's going to be not a labor of love. It's going to be something you will hate. But if it is a spontaneous reaction, then it's something that's really coming through from the soul. The little self is out of the way, and all this energy flow that you just talked about is allowed to flow through because it is spontaneous and there's nothing blocking it. That little self is not heading it off. It's not standing in the way of this very free-flowing inflow of soul energy, which is essentially love.
Yeah, the personality always weighs the odds. The separated, independent, isolated individual that we think we are has a tendency to weigh the odds and decide, what's in it for me? What will I gain from this? What will I lose from this? What's it going to cost me? Will I have enough time to do everything else I want? That's not true service, or it's of too mixed a motive to count. But the soul, like you say, is spontaneous. It sees need and endeavors to meet it. I think a really wonderful example of the law of service was in a movie I once saw. Did you ever see the movie Marvin's Room with Diane Keaton and Meryl Streep? It was about two sisters who were middle-aged. The sister, Diane Keaton, had been single all her life and devoted herself to the care of their father and aunt, who were, at this point, quite old, quite dotty, and very lovable, but really dependent on Diane Keaton, who realized in the movie that she had cancer and was facing the end of her life and trying to make arrangements for the transfer of this care of her father and aunt. Her sister, Meryl Streep, was of a much different type and had lived a very different life and was quite sardonic and jaded about life. She had had her own hardships. She came down to be with her dying sister. And Diane Keaton says to her, "I've had such love in my life." And Meryl Streep looks at her and says, "Yeah, they really loved you," meaning the father and the aunt. "They loved you because you sacrificed for them." And Diane Keaton said, "No, that's not what I meant. It's I who loved them." And what she meant was the joy of her life had been caring for the father and the aunt. It was natural and unquestioned that she should devote herself to them, and it gave her every joy. It cost her nothing.
Right, and she gained more from that probably than her sisters are, probably,
mm-hmm.
and gained more than her parents or
mm-hmm.
her father and her aunt.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that was the great lesson of her life, was to learn that, to learn and experience that joy.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is one of the qualities of the soul, is joy.
To those who give, all is given. Is that from the Bible or is that from Alice Bailey?
I think so.
One or the other.
I'd be from both.
To those who give, all is given. That's the law of service.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the spiritual laws,
mm-hmm.
in addition to the law of karma and a multitude
mm-hmm.
of others, I guess.
Mm-hmm. To those who give, all is given. It doesn't cost you anything to give everything. And yet we don't really trust it. We're pretty sure, something's going to be lost.
But the other effect is that it opens the heart center. And that's why that great sense of love flows. and why one can lose oneself in service, because the heart suddenly comes open, and this spontaneous effect opens the floodgates of this great energy of love.
Alice Bailey has a wonderful take on this kind of energy that we're talking about. She says service is the expression of the chain of being that brings spiritual energy from higher levels to lower. She said every human being who reaches the goal of light and wisdom automatically has a field of influence which extends both up and down and reaches inwards to the source of light and outwards into the fields of darkness. When he has thus attained, he will become a conscious center of life-giving force, and without effort, he will stimulate, energize, and vivify to fresh efforts all lives that he contacts, be it a flower or an animal or a person. He will act as a transmitter of light in the darkness. That's service.
I was wondering, I do have one question I'd like to ask, and I mean, you talk about the soul, for example, and it's so confusing to me. I'd mm-hmm. like to explore that topic a little bit further. The soul, I always thought of it as a soul individual within us, but the way you describe the soul, we live in the soul, I think.
Yes.
That's what I'm gathering from you. We live in the soul more than the soul living in the individual.
That's right. That's a good way to put it.
The soul lives amongst us, is that it?
It's present amongst us. It's the unifying factor that unites us all. We are encased in separated personalities and bodies, but in fact, on the subjective level of life, we are all sharing freely of our force or energy, whether it's good or bad. We are automatically affecting each other, but the soul is our unity as divine beings.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's the premise for service.
And one more thing, too. When we feel this strong urge that you're talking about, the strong urge to be of service, does this urge mean that we are communicating with the soul?
Yes, I would think so.
Okay, yeah. so that's a criteria for we know we're in contact then. Mm-hmm. So for those people who have listened to the previous offer, we'll mention it once again. Take advantage of a special offer from Lucis Publishing, which is the Alice Bailey book, Serving Humanity, a compilation of extract from all 24 books by Alice Bailey, available for $19. Send a check or money order, $19, to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.